The most bizarre and ridiculous are on display before us daily. This foolishness is what the Bible calls the deceivableness of unrighteousness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12. Righteousness is entirely a faith issue, faith in action, and unrighteousness is simply the spirit of unbelief. The Bible's definition of sin is found in Romans 14, 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Adam and Eve dwelt in God's paradise as a result of their faith in His word. When Eve chose to believe Satan's words over God's, and when Adam followed her lead, that day two things happened. One, they died the second death, a spiritual death, and two, they were booted out of paradise, beginning their downhill slide to the first death, which is the body's physical death. With this act of unbelief and its subsequent disobedience, the law of sin and death began to reign on the earth. Here, Satan gained the deed of the earth and its humanity from Adam. Here, Satan gained the title of the God of this earth. Note the lowercase g, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The most bizarre and ridiculous thoughts take up residence when God's word is rejected. For example, the God of the academic world is evolution, which is pronounced evolution in the United Kingdom. According to evolution's vaunted masters of knowledge, there was a fortuitous and mysterious Big Bang that occurred out of nothing about 13.8 billion years ago. From this complete nothing, something, everything, actually just evolved in this unfathomable accident. Oops. Very complicated life of all forms simply evolved by complete accident. And non-life just somehow formed into highly sophisticated life of unimaginable variety. Boom! Just like that, your first cousin was a mushroom, your second cousin was a banana, and your father was a monkey. The whole class looked at that puddle of primordial ooze and exclaimed, "Wow, how deep!" The only remedy for this abject stupidity, which is a product of the deceivableness of unrighteousness, is faith in Jesus Christ the righteous. He alone can save the soul. Acts 4, 10 through 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible teaches us that God has given unto every man a measure of faith, Romans 12, 3, and that faith is of Christ. Regardless of your religious or non-religious root, you have what you need to believe upon the Christ of Calvary. It is in you right now, but it must be activated. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, as Jesus declares in John 3, 3? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In just moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, you will activate the seed of faith that is within you. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be pristine clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be destroyed. The bigger, the better. Today, you will be born a literal second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject, God said, Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. God said, Psalms 19:7-11, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. God said, Psalms 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Man said, Anyone with any IQ at all knows that there is no way an old Bible penned thousands of years ago by mere men could have any relevance in today's enlightened society. Look how absurd they are. These Bible thumpers actually believe God authored this book. Really absurd. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature article 1326 that will once again contend for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these faith-building features are archived here in over 50 languages for your edification and to be used in your personal evangelizing efforts. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. The beautiful book, God's Holy Bible, and its glorious, illuminating magnificence is so marvelous to consider. From Genesis chapter 3, Satan has been challenging the beautiful book, starting with, Yea, hath God said. Since then, the challenges have been unrelenting and varied, but they all have one thing in common. They have only succeeded in inadvertently certifying the inerrancy of this wonderful book, ironically adding more proof that it was penned by holy men, yet authored by God. Satan has paraded his champions before the sons of men, barking out their various bold blasphemies and sophisticated-sounding contradictions, only to fall upon their faces in the absurdity of their vain jangling. So it is, and so it must be, for God's word is true and righteous altogether. This feature will once again certify this reality. One of the most maligned and ridiculed of the miraculous accounts in God's word is that of the first post-flood city called Babylon and its infamous tower of rebellion known as the Tower of Babel. Again, Genesis 11:1-9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city, and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city, and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, And they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down now, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. In the first feature in this series, we published much of a June 9, 2026 online feature from National Geographic titled, Was There a Real Tower of Babel? This temple is a leading contender. Combined with research previously examined and published by God Said, Man Said, we certified beyond any reasonable doubt that Babylon and its tower were true, even as recorded in the Holy Bible. Since we have now established the historical veracity of a physical Tower of Babel, this feature will verify that the world did once speak one common language, as recorded in Genesis 11:1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Several excerpts from last week's entry in the Babylonian Trilogy series are repeated here for context. Such fantastical claims in the scriptures have been attacked and mocked incessantly by the world's skeptics. It was beneath them to countenance such foolish Sunday school drivel. Their contempt has prevailed in the halls of academia for centuries. But it should have become obvious to these great mountains of intellect that God's word on this account was true after all, at least in regard to a single common worldwide language, after microbiology firmly established one common mother and father for all this world's present population. What would this original common family have spoken if not the same common language? One common language root should have been obvious. God had downloaded genius upon genius into Adam and Eve. Both spoke fluently from the beginning. They were not grunting hunter-gatherers. Absolutely not. In defense of the world's wisest, I should note that the world's common parentage was only uncovered in the last few decades. Evidently, they haven't had the time to update their unbelief, despite these common parents have been named by science as Y chromosome Adam and mtDNA Eve. The famed ancient Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote shortly after the life of Christ, states in his book, The Antiquities of the Jews, the following history. Now the plain in which they first dwelt was called Shinar. God also commanded them to send colonies abroad for the thorough peopling of the earth, that they might not raise seditions among themselves, but might cultivate a great part of the earth and enjoy its fruits after a plentiful manner. But they were so ill instructed that they did not obey God. Now it was Nimrod who excited them to such an affront and contempt of God. He was the grandson of Ham, the son of Noah, a bold man and of great strength of hand. He persuaded them not to ascribe it to God as if was through his means they were happy, but to believe that it was their own courage which produced or procured that happiness. He also gradually changed the government into tyranny, seeing no other way of turning men from the fear of God but to bring them into a constant dependence upon his power. He also said he would be revenged on God if he should have a mind to throw down the world again, for that he would build a tower too high for the waters to be able to reach, and that he would avenge himself on God for destroying their forefathers. Now the multitude was ready to follow the determination of Nimrod and to esteem it a piece of cowardice to submit to God, and they built a tower, neither sparing any pains nor being in any degree negligent about the work, and by reason of the multitude of hands employed in it, it grew very high sooner than anyone could expect. But the thickness of it was so great, and it was so strongly built, that thereby its great height seemed upon the view to be less than it really was. It was built of burnt brick, cemented together with mortar, made of bitumen, that it might not be liable to admit water. When God saw that they acted so madly, he did not resolve to destroy them utterly, since they were not grown wiser by the destruction of the former sinners, but he caused a tumult among them by producing in them divers languages and causing that through the multitude of those languages, they should not be able to understand one another. The place wherein they built the tower is now called Babylon because of the confusion of that language which they really understood before. For the Hebrews mean by the word Babel confusion. The Sibyl also makes mention of this tower and of the confusion of the language when she says thus, "When all men were of one language, some of them built a high tower, as if they would thereby ascend up to heaven. But the gods sent storms of wind and overthrew the tower, and gave everyone his peculiar language. And for this reason, it was that the city was called Babylon." End of quote. It was at Babel that the world's nationalities began. Each group separated according to their languages. Again, Josephus on the formation of nationalities. After this, they were dispersed abroad on account of their languages and went out by colonies everywhere. And each colony took possession of that land which they light upon and unto which God led them, so that the whole continent was filled with them, both the inland and maritime countries. There were some also who passed over the sea in ships and inhabited the islands, and some of those nations do still remain the denominations which were given them by their first founders. End of quote. Biblical researcher and author Grant Jeffrey, in his 250-page book Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible, reports the following concerning the Tower of Babel. The French government sent Professor M. Oppert to report on a number of the cuneiform inscriptions discovered in the ruins of ancient Babylon. Professor Oppert translated a long inscription by King Nebuchadnezzar, who died 562 B.C., in which the king referred to the ancient tower in the Chaldean language as Barzippa, which means tongue tower. The Greeks used the word Borsippa, with the same meaning of tongue tower, to describe the ruins of the Tower of Babel. This inscription of King Nebuchadnezzar clearly identified the original Tower of Borsippa with the Tower of Babel, as described by Moses in the book of Genesis. Nebuchadnezzar was known as a great builder of cities, palaces, and temples to commemorate his pagan gods. King Nebuchadnezzar rebuilt the enormous city of Babylon in great magnificence with gold and silver. He then decided to rebuild the lowest platform of the Tower of Babel in honor of the Chaldean gods. At great cost, King Nebuchadnezzar resurfaced the base of the Tower of Babel with gold, silver, cedar, and fir on top of a hard surface of baked clay bricks. These bricks were engraved with the seal of King Nebuchadnezzar. In an inscription found on the base of the ruins of the Tower of Babel, King Nebuchadnezzar spoke in his own words, confirming one of the most fascinating events of the ancient past as recorded in the Word of God. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. "The tower, the eternal house which I founded and built, I have completed its magnificence with silver, gold, other metals, stone, enameled bricks, fir, and pine. The first, which is the house of the earth's base, the most ancient monument of Babylon, I built and finished it. I have highly exalted its head with bricks covered with copper. We say for the other, that is, this edifice, the house of the seven lights of the earth, the most ancient monument of Borsippa. A former king built it, they reckon 42 ages, but he did not complete its head. Since a remote time, people had abandoned it without order expressing their words. Since that time, the earthquake and the thunder had dispersed the sun-dried clay. The bricks of the casing have been split, and the earth of the interior had been scattered in heaps. Merodach, the great god, excited my mind to repair this building. I did not change the site, nor did I take away the foundation. In a fortunate month, in an auspicious day, I undertook to build porticos around the crude brick masses and the casing of burnt bricks. I adapted the circuits. I put the inscription of my name in the keter of the portico. I set my hand to finish it and to exalt its head as it had been in ancient days, so I exalted its summit." Professor Oppert first translated this amazing inscription into French, and William Loftus later translated it into English in his book Travels and Researches in Chaldea and Susiana. This remarkable ancient inscription confirms the historical accuracy of one of the most unusual and fascinating stories found in the book of Genesis. The pagan king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, confirmed in his own words the unusual details that a former king built it, but he did not complete its head. This ancient inscription confirmed the accuracy of the Genesis account that God had prevented the original builders from completing the top of the Tower of Babel. Most significantly, King Nebuchadnezzar's inscription declares that the reason the original king could not complete the tower was that they could not express their own words. Since a remote time, people had abandoned it without order expressing their words. Thus, King Nebuchadnezzar admitted that his ancestors actually lost their ability to express their words, to control their language and communications, end of quote. The following information was lifted from the God Said, Man Said feature, Tower of Babel and One Common Language, the Genesis series, part 38. Listen carefully to this next piece of information. This is a statement concerning the common language. It was at a Tower of Babylon that God changed man's speech from one common language to many. George Smith, the staff member of the British Museum, who translated the Babylonian account of the flood, published the following mind-boggling translation of an ancient fragment found in the excavations. This is what the Babylonians had written. The building of this temple offended the gods. In a night, they threw down what had been built. They scattered them abroad and made strange their speech. The progress then impeded. This is the Babylonians' account, not the Holy Bible's. Alfredo Trombetti, in his book, The Unity of the Origin of Language, states that he is able to prove the common origin of all languages. Max Müller, the comparative philologist, declared concerning the common origin of speech, "We have examined all possible forms which language can assume, and we now ask, can we reconcile with these three distinct forms, the radical, the terminational, inflectional, the admission of one common origin of human speech?" I answer decidedly, yes. The admission of one common origin of human speech, could it be? The following excerpt is from the J.M. McDowell's The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. There is now considerable evidence that the world did indeed have a single language at one time. Sumerian literature alludes to this fact several times. Linguists also find this theory helpful in categorizing languages, end of quote. Now from Dr. Morrison Clark. The origin of human language, and especially the tremendous diversity of human languages, is as yet quite inexplicable to the evolutionist. There is nothing even remotely comparable to such an ability among the higher animals. That human speech and language are divine creations is by far the most reasonable explanation. Furthermore, the fact that the great variety of languages reflects a divine judgment on early man, as the Bible teaches, is also the most reasonable explanation we have, end of quote. In the book review section of Discover Magazine, March 2002, is found the following paragraph in a review of M.C. Baker's book, The Atoms of Language, The Mind's Hidden Rules of Grammar. Are the world's 6,000 languages fundamentally different from one another, or do they share a common underlying structure? Baker, a cognitive scientist, argues that most, if not all, languages conform to a common set of rules. Mapping these rules, says Baker, could produce a periodic table of language, a single framework from which all languages are derived, end of quote. Otto Jespersen of the University of Copenhagen wrote, "Some scholars see the insufficiency of the usual theories and, giving up all attempts at explaining it the natural way, fall back on the religious belief that the first language was directly given to the first men by God through a miracle." It should be noted that anthropologists trained in molecular biology have established that the entire world's human population is rooted in one common mother and one common father. This testifies of one common language, one common beginning. According to the Scientific American in May 2016 issue, nearly half of the world's population, presently speaking in over 400 languages, finds the one common root of their language in a mother tongue called Proto-Indo-European, or PIE. The title of the feature written by M. Baker is Language Wars. An info brief at the beginning of the feature reads, nearly half the world's population speaks one of the languages derived from a single ancient tongue dubbed Proto-Indo-European, or PIE. Linguists have long argued that PIE first spread from the vast steppes of Central Asia to Europe some 6,000 to 5,000 years ago. Again from Scientific American. Why do such geographically diverse languages use similar words for the same flower? All these tongues, along with more than 400 others, belong to the same family of languages, the incredibly far-flung Indo-European language family, and have a common origin. Indo-European languages, which include Greek, Latin, English, Sanskrit, and many languages spoken in Iran and on the Indian subcontinent, are the most dominant linguistic group in the history of humanity. Everyone agrees on one key point. The Indo-European languages descended from a common ancestor, a common tongue called Proto-Indo-European, or PIE. But as to why this particular language produced so many linguistic offspring or where it originated, there is no core. From the God Said, Man Said feature, all the world once spoke one common language, things changed at Babel. Answers Magazine, a publication of Answers in Genesis, weighed in on this subject in its April-June 2008 issue. The writer lists Babel accounts from various locations on the earth. Three of the nine accounts that were uncovered in the article follow. 1. Middle East. Sumerians believe that all people spoke one language, as claimed in the poem, "And Merkur and Lord of Arada." In those days, the whole universe, the people in unison, Enki, the Lord of Abundance, changed the speech in their mouths and brought contention into it, into the speech of man that until then had been one. Southeast Asia. A legend of the Gaiho tribe of Burma says, in the days of Pandam Man, the people determined to build a pagoda that should reach up to heaven. When the pagoda was halfway up to heaven, God came down and confounded the language of the people, so that they could not understand each other. Then the people scattered, and Thalma Ra, the father of Gaiho tribe, came west with 8 chiefs and settled in the valley of the Sitang. India. The Mikar tribe in the northeastern India tells of the descendants of Ram who grew dissatisfied with earth and aspired to conquer heaven. They began to build a tower. Higher and higher rose the building, till at last the gods and demons feared lest these giants should become the masters of heaven as they already were of earth, so they confounded their language and scattered them to the four corners of the world. Hence arose all the various tongues of mankind. End quote. In the October-December 2015 issue of Answers Magazine, you'll find the following paragraphs in a multi-page section called Digging Past the Doubts under the heading Tower of Babel. Most scholars write of the Tower of Babel account by pronouncing it an ideology, a story like other ancient myths used to explain something in the real world. In this case, Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9, explains why there are so many language families throughout the earth. When we delve deeper, however, we find that the account is not made up, but rather rooted in solid historical fact. 2 ancient clay tablets have been found that record Mesopotamian versions of the event. Briefly, the first tablet, now in the British Museum and very fragmentary, tells of the destruction of a building on a mount in Babel by a god who confused or mixed the language of the builders. The second tablet, now in the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England, contains an intact account of the incident. This version, embedded in a much longer composition called And Merkur and the Lord of Arada, helps us pinpoint where the event might have occurred. It says, in those days, in the whole compass of heaven and earth, people entrusted to him could address the god Enlil, Lord of the Air, verily in but a single tongue, In those days did Enki, leader of the gods, lord of Eridu, estrange the tongues in their mouths, as many as were put there, the tongues of men which were one. In the same feature, beside a picture of fragments of clay tablets, you'll find the following paragraph. An Assyrian clay tablet found at Nineveh contained an account of the confusion of the language at Babel. It speaks of the god Bel destroying walls that had been built and confusing the language of the people at Babel. End of quote. Skeptics may howl, but reality confirms a supernatural encounter between God and man at a place called Babel. End of quote. This final paragraph is from the God Said, Man Said feature Tower of Babel number 2. Genesis 10:25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. Famed historian and minister Bishop Usher, who lived in the 1600s, refers in his 960-page tome, The Annals of the World, to Egyptian historian Manetho, who hailed from around 300 B.C. This third-party, non-Hebrew historian pegs the Tower of Babel 5 years after the birth of Peleg. Usher dates the event of Babel to have taken place in the 1,762nd year of the history of the earth. That is 106 years after the global flood in the days of Noah. End of quote. Consider what the evidence has shown. There was a time when the world's entire population spoke one common language, just like the Bible said. There was a great city of abomination called Babylon, just like the Bible said. There was a great tower built at Babylon, a tower of rebellion called the Tower of Babel, just like the Bible said. And there was a day when, due to man's rebellion, God came down and confounded the language of man from one to many, just like the Bible said. God said, Genesis 11:1-9, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this is they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. God said, Psalms 19:7-11, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. God said, Psalms 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Man said, Anyone with an IQ at all knows that there is no way an old Bible, penned thousands of years ago by mere men, could have any relevance in today's enlightened society. Look how absurd they are. These Bible thumpers actually believe God authored this book. Really absurd. Now you have the record.